Amen. Take your Bibles, please, to Genesis 37. While you're turning there, Jeremiah 29:11 has been used in many situations. Sometimes you find it when kids are going off to college, and it'll be used for them, or after they've been to college and they're going into a new chapter of their life, into a job situation. It could be for many other future plans that God has for us. It says, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." To give you an expected end. Well, whose end? It's God's expected end for us. And that would be, therefore, referencing His plan, His goal, His purpose in us. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. We may not always understand what that plan is or why that plan is what it is. But even in tough times, we must remember that Romans 8:28 is still in the book. Amen. What does Romans 8:28 say? And we know that how many things? All things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His, what's the last word?
Purpose.
All right, God has a purpose for every one of us, and He's working all things in our life to bring us to that end, to that purpose. All these things, they teach us, they mature us, they prepare us for what God has for us in the future. The things in our life. Now, we sometimes get sidetracked in our thinking and distracted and sometimes even begin to complain and to feel like, why are these things happening to me? And when they happen and when they come, those difficulties that come are not always fun. But they always have a purpose. And as we think about many difficulties that come into a person's life, there's one man that probably jumps to the foremost that we think of, and that's the man who?
Job.
Now, Job had so many things that happened to him in so many different ways, even though we learn from his life, he's probably not a real good example for us because none of us have really experienced all of that at one time. But there is another man that's a good example for us that has experienced some very difficult things that was in his life that we may also and probably have and will continue to face while we run this race that God has set us in. And that's the man Joseph. If you remember in Joseph's life, he is one that went through many difficult situations and did not become bitter, but kept trusting God and he kept doing what was right. What an example for us as well. There are three main parts to Joseph's life that I want us to look. First of all, the promise, and then there was the preparation, and then his promotion. We'll see those, but I'd like to begin today a two-part message entitled Joseph, the Prepared Man. This is part one today. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, we pause. We acknowledge again that we're your people. This is your word. And I pray that through your Holy Spirit's power, you would put your hand upon me to be able to share clearly and completely your truth, that you would help open our eyes to see where these things apply to us, and that we would evaluate ourselves the way that you see us. Lord, correct anything that is not in line with what you would have. And I pray that as we leave out of here today, we'll be better equipped to please you, to serve you, Lord, to do those things that are right. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's look here at the promise, first of all. As I said, Joseph was born into difficult situations. There were many siblings that he had. All of his brothers pretty much hated him because of the favoritism that his dad, Jacob, had played. You remember Joseph was the young man that had the coat of Oh, y'all have heard that one too. The coat of many colors, and it was a special garment that his dad had given, and it was one in which kind of set him apart. And it wasn't just that he had this coat, but it's the way that his dad treated him with the favoritism that was there. He treated him different than all the rest. Parents, could I stop? This is not the message, but could I say this as a warning? Be very careful when you're raising your children not to any way show favoritism. That never ends well. We ought to love, and I'm sure we should, and I hope each one of you do, love each one of your children the same, and that you deal with them and do for them the same as well. We're not perfect, but we ought to be striving for that, even in this aspect of our responsibilities in raising our children. So we have here, he was treated differently, and on top of that, he had two dreams that God had given him. And one predicted his future exaltation. He would be raised to a particular position. And the other one also predicted his rule that he would have over his family. Now, I believe God gave him these dreams as an indication to him and an encouragement to him for what God was going to do. But it may not have been the wisest thing for him to blabber it all to his brothers. Because they didn't take it very well at all, as you can imagine. They saw that as bragging insults against them. And could I say what the scripture says here about bragging? Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. We ought to be careful about talking about ourselves too much. Probably not at all. Let somebody else say something good about you if they're going to say. What if they don't ever say it? Don't worry about it. Okay, so we need to understand that God takes care of those things. Don't be lifting yourself up, but let God exalt you. When we lift ourselves up, that's called pride, and pride brings us low to destruction. So keep that in mind. You end up getting the opposite of what you thought. So he had these dreams, and he communicated these dreams, and it brought even a worse situation with his brothers. He had God's promises, but he had all of the hate and that went on with his brothers against him. He had a lot of growing up to do, and God was going to use some very harsh circumstances to bring about that growth. And could I say, and may you anticipate, that we understand that God uses difficulties in our life, sometimes even brings those difficulties into our life to teach us certain lessons that we have to learn. I look back in my life and I recognize that there are things that I learned during some very difficult times in my life that I probably, humanly speaking, would say I would never have learned it without going through that. But God knew. And God either allowed it or he brought it for that very purpose. God is in control of all things, and he uses all things for his great purpose in our life. And so God sees the big picture with us, and he plans the big picture. He plans what he wants to accomplish. Then second, look at the preparation. Joseph had to struggle with many setbacks, which he may not ever would have thought that he really deserved. Your tough situation that you're going through right now, and I would say that every one of us, to a certain degree, has situations in our life, some more difficult than others, but none of them real easy that we face. We may look at some of those situations and circumstances and think that we don't really deserve that kind of treatment. We don't deserve that kind of outcome. We didn't deserve to be overlooked for that promotion. We didn't deserve to be fussed at or blamed for that incident. We didn't deserve, you know, the list could go on and on with our different situations of what has taken place. How do we respond when we feel like that we didn't deserve it? Well, let's see Joseph's example. Because the many things that happened unto him are not things that happened necessarily because he deserved it. But let's see how he responded. First of all, there was rejection that happened unto him. In Genesis 37 here, beginning in verse 12, says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel, that is Jacob, the father, said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I." It's availability to the dad, or whatever he wanted to send him to. And he said unto him, "Go, and I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he went out to the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And so we have here what the father sends, Jacob sends Joseph to do, to check on his brothers. We're told in verse 18, it says that, "And they," his brothers, "when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." They begin to think, here he comes, he's wearing that coat, and we're going to take care of him. Nobody's going to know but us. And so they conspired that they were going to kill him. Reuben kind of comes to the defense. He's the oldest, even though he wasn't too pleased with him either. But he said, "Hey, he's our blood. We can't kill him." But they stripped off the coat of many colors, and they cast him into probably a dry well. In verses 23 and 24, it describes that this pit was empty, had no water in it. And so they cast him into this well, this dry well, and they decided, instead of killing him, which is no advantage to us, let's just take the coat. And they killed an animal, and he's got blood all over it. And back in those days, you know, father didn't do DNA check to see if it was human even. They just saw a bloody coat, and it was his son's coat. But he said, "Let's sell him to these travelers going to Egypt. We'll profit from him at least." And so they did that. They sold him to these travelers going to Egypt. And his comfort level became worse and worse and worse. The privileged son was now a common slave, sold into slave traffic. Now, here are my questions. Number one, did Joseph have the right, humanly speaking, okay, did Joseph have the right to be bitter? All right? Probably, humanly speaking, he had the right to be bitter. He didn't deserve it. It wasn't fair. But how would his life have been different if he had become bitter? Think about that just for a moment. How would his life been different if he would have become bitter in this situation? I believe the answer to that question is that God probably would not have used him the way that he did. In other words, it would have been Joseph's loss if he became bitter. Could we understand that about ourselves? Not only is unforgiveness a sin that's worse on us than it is on the person that we don't forgive, but also bitterness, the sin of bitterness, is one in which affects us and can cause loss of God's use of us. And so we must be careful not to let even our unfair situations in our life and difficulties cause us to become bitter. So how did he refrain from becoming bitter? I believe the answer to that is the word faith. He trusted God even though he could not see God's purpose and God's plan, the outcome that God had for him. I had Robbie read that passage this morning on purpose, because that statement reminded me of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Okay? Don't expect that you deserve to understand what God is doing. We have a God that is so much bigger than us. His ways are so much higher than ours. And we want to understand Him and His purpose. Why would we want to do that? There's only one reason. Because we want to judge whether or not we think God is right by allowing that in our life. Don't ever stand there. Please understand that when we become that way, that is what we're actually doing. We're wanting to know why, because we want to judge whether or not we think God did right. Be careful. God is always right. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Lord, I acknowledge that I need You. I need Your ways. I need Your power. I need Your purpose in my life. And when we are looking for that, when we are acknowledging, Lord, I need You, He will direct your paths. We have that promise from the Lord. So there was rejection that we see that Joseph faced. Humiliation. Joseph found himself in a tough situation in Egypt. Circumstances that was out of his control. He was purchased as a slave by Potiphar. Excuse me. He could have given up. He could have become depressed. He could have refused to try anymore. Or he could go and work hard for a new boss in a new place with new responsibilities. And he did. And in chapter 39, we read in verses 1 through 3, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Pilate, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And He is with us. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, Potiphar there, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, he could have sat back and said, what's the use? I didn't deserve this. Look the way I've been treated. And here I'm down here as a slave. Does God even know where I am and what's going on? Let me tell you. As human beings, we real easy can come to that thought. If we're not careful, if we don't learn this truth. Yet he worked hard for a new boss and a new place with new responsibilities, and God prospered him. He blessed him. You hear the lesson that I see. No job in the will of the Lord. All right, may I emphasize in the will of the Lord. No job in the will of God is too menial. No job in the will of the Lord is too menial. There are sometimes Christians that look at the job that they have. I'm stuck. I know that I am qualified to do a lot more than what this is. When will I ever be recognized? When will I ever be promoted? When will I ever? You may be in a low-paying, a low-prestigious job and have skills that could accomplish much more. And you may even think you don't deserve to have to put up with that. But be faithful. In time, God may elevate you as to His purpose. But for now, do what Joseph did. Have you ever heard the statement before, the quote, bloom where you've been planted? That's exactly what he did in the circumstances that he had. He did his best with those circumstances. And we are to do the same where God has planted us. Not having this mentality, if this was an important job, I would put more effort in working. That's not right. Colossians 3:23, remember? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatever your responsibility, whatever your job, you put yourself into it completely. No job in the will of God is too menial. Secondly, God has a purpose in your situations. There are no accidents, they're just incidents. They're just situations that God has allowed or brought forward. So don't become bitter, don't become confused, don't become discouraged in the midst of your problems. Look for God's hand in the situation. And if you can't see God's hand, as the song reminds us, then trust his heart. We know some things about how God works in trials. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, its complete work, that you may be perfect, complete, mature, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. God uses those things in our life to bring about that maturing for the purpose that he has in mind. Look for his hand. But if you don't see his hand, at least trust his heart of what he's doing. Humiliation. There was, thirdly, temptation. And we know that in verses 7 through 12 there in chapter 39. It's much easier to give in to temptation than it is to resist it. But it's not impossible. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That means everybody else has temptations as well. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. We have the promise of God that there is never going to be any temptation that comes into a believer's life that we say, I could not resist. It was too much. God says, no, it wasn't. I gave you a way of escape. That you may not have taken it. You may not have prepared yourself to stand. But it'll never be too much if we take the way of escape. Temptation. Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph, and he refused for two reasons. I haven't got time to go into all of here, but if you'll read down through that passage, you'll find out in verses 8 and 9, there was loyalty to his earthly master. How can I do this? He's put me in charge, and nobody has more authority in this house. He's given me everything there is in this household except for you, his wife. So he had loyalty to his earthly master. Verse 9, how can I do this in the sight of God, sin against God? He had loyalty to his heavenly master. We are to do the same. Our loyalty to those that have responsibility or have authority over us, and ultimately to the Lord himself, our master, that has authority over us. It's remarkable for two reasons. One, Joseph was still a relatively young man. He was 17 when God gave him those dreams, and this is not real long after that. And so he was a young man with normal physical desires and drives. He was away from parental authority. He was away from any kind of restraint that his family would have authority with him. In a foreign country with a new language and a new culture and a new position with new responsibilities, he was around nobody else that would ever know or even would ever care what he did. Now let me ask you something. Us first, young people, teenagers. If you knew that you were going somewhere where your parents would never find out what you did, they would never find out how you behaved, would you still do what is right? Because it's right. Whatever you would do when you are away, that's what you really are right now. Okay? Adults, same question. You're away from your spouse. You're away from your family, your children. You're away from others that know you. How do you behave in that circumstance? What would you do in your choices that you make? There was nobody to tell him what to do or even cared what he did, yet he remained faithful to God. The point is that Joseph did what was right because he wanted to, not because he had to. That's where we need to get to ourselves. Our choices need to be because we want to. We want to please the Lord. We want to do what he has said. Not because we feel like we have to. Also note this, that what did Joseph do when he was cornered in verse 12? She called him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know, it's all right when temptation sometimes surprises us to run, literally, and get away. Back up a few verses there. In verse 10, says that she tempted him day by day. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It was ongoing. She tempted him both physically to lie with her in a sexual way, and to be with her, that's an emotional way. Can I say this to those of you married people out here and on our website? Be careful not just saying, "Hey, I'm not going to ever physically be involved with another person that's not my spouse." But be careful not to be involved emotionally with those people. You see, when you said "I do" to him or her, I almost need to clarify that these days. But I think in my audience, you know what I'm talking about. When you said "I do" to your spouse, you said "I don't" to everybody else. Okay? Emotional attachment. We're just eating lunch together, talking. Be careful. It's a slippery road to go down that path. We must anticipate temptation and decide in advance the proper action to take. Daniel 1:8 is a principle there. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the wine in which he drank. He purposed in his heart. He made his mind up in advance. We've got to make our mind up. When temptation comes, you know what temptations you're likely going to be hit with. Make up your mind. How are you going to respond? And if something takes you by surprise, then run. Get away from it. That's the principles that we see. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Get away. Run. You can't handle it, according to God. So when difficulties come, we should respond by four things here, and I'll close. We should respond by recognizing that tough times come to even godly believers. Just because you're going through tough times doesn't mean that you're not walking with the Lord. Secondly, we're to respond to those difficulties by recognizing that the tough times are purposeful to mature us and to prepare us. God is working on us. He's not finished with us. We're to respond to those difficulties by remaining faithful regardless of the circumstances. We're to bloom where God has planted us. And we are to respond to the difficulties by refusing to become bitter toward God or others. God bless Joseph for doing what was right, and he'll bless you as well. Joseph did what was right because it was the right thing to do. How about you? When you're away from others that know you or care what you do, do you do right because you want to? Have you decided in advance to live for Jesus? Every head bowed, please. That's the question I want you to answer this morning. Have you decided in advance you're going to live for Jesus? Let come what may. Whatever the difficulty, whatever the circumstance. Father, I pray that we would see ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Lord, where we have failed, may we make those corrections by repenting of that sin, confessing it to you. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive. Thank you, Father. May we respond properly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.